have a good time. Put a smile on your face, yeah. KBKM and Elation Radio. Even brighten your day and help you through the night. Bring you good music. KBKM and Elation Radio. And here's your host.
Hello, my name is Glenda Johnson, better known as G. Johnson. When I'm not busy, I like tuning in to Elations Radio on Saturday nights with Apostle Irvin A. Whitlow, Jr., where the topic of discussion is making marriage meaningful. It appeals to the saved and the unsaved. It's for couples who are married, couples who are thinking about marriage, and for those who are divorced yet considering remarriage. Now, this discussion, making marriage meaningful, is the most explicit, authentic relationship talk live here on Elations Radio. So save the date and time on your calendar. We look forward to hearing and seeing from you at 10 o'clock p.m. Eastern Standard Time and 9 o'clock p.m. Central. So tune in to the broadcast and be blessed. Amen.
Press in Nothing can stop me. Nothing can block me. I am a winner. Look at your neighbor and say, I speak the victory. Nothing can stop me. Nothing can block me. Victory. You gotta speak victory over your life. Nothing can stop me. Yeah, nothing can block me. Yeah, I am a winner. I speak the victory. Nothing can stop me. Nothing can block me. Yeah, I am a winner. I speak the victory.
Hello, my name is Glenda Johnson, better known as G. Johnson. When I'm not busy, I like tuning in to Elations Radio on Saturday nights with Apostle Irvin A. Whitlow, Jr., where the topic of discussion is making marriage meaningful. It appeals to the saved and the unsaved. It's for couples who are married, couples who are thinking about marriage, and for those who are divorced yet considering remarriage. Now, this discussion, making marriage meaningful, is the most explicit, authentic relationship talk live here on Elations Radio. So save the date and time on your calendar. We look forward to hearing and seeing from you at 10 o'clock p.m. Eastern Standard Time and 9 o'clock p.m. Central. So tune in to the broadcast and be blessed. Amen.
Welcome to Making Marriage Meaningful. This is your host, Apostle Irvin Whitlow.
Amen. Well, the blessing of the Lord be upon you. I'm trying to figure out where Apostle Whitlow is. I'm Bishop-elect Ernest E. Richard, Jr. I'm not actually your show host, but we'll give him a few minutes to come on and to get himself settled. I trust that he's in the process of trying to, get there. Y'all, please excuse me. But listen, I don't know who his panel, his guests are today, but let's find out who's here. Those that have joined him over the months, weeks, and the days, we'll do roll call, and let's find out who's here. Apostle Vincent L. Smith, are you here, sir? I guess Apostle Smith's not here. What about Brother and Sister Gabriel? Are you here?
We are here. How you doing? Well,
we're doing excellent. Bless you. How
right.
are you today, sir? All right. Let's find out. Minister Billy, Reverend Billy, are you here?
Yes, I am. Yes, I am.
Well, bless your heart. So happy to have you here. And let's check with Sis Johnson. Are you with us? Okay, she's not with us. Let's take one last shot at the most, well, we're all important, but if without this person, there is no show. Dr. Kimmy Robinson, God bless you. How are you today?
I'm fine, but actually without you all, there would be no podcast. I just love this wonderful podcast. It's amazing.
Well, we thank God for each and every one of you. And, you know, as I said, I got no notice to actually hold his show down. I don't know if he's still in service. I believe he is. And I'm not sure if Apostle Smith is supposed to finish what he started last week. So what we are going to do is I'm going to have you, Reverend Billy, pray us in. And while you're praying us in, I'm going to get the scriptures over in Genesis chapter 2 as soon as my computer will stop giving me a hard time. And we will go from there. All right. So can we make that happen?
Yes. To God be the glory. Father, Lord God, as we come before you tonight, as always, Lord, we come grateful for your love, we are grateful for your mercy, and we are grateful for your grace. And we are grateful, dear God, for this moment in time, where as we come together in the exploration of your glorious and holy word, and at this time in the area of holy matrimony, Father, we come now where you would search the scriptures to find the bound, there is the limitations and the requirements of that other marriage. And I pray, Heavenly Father, that in all our wonderment, in our inquiry, and in our wonder, in our settlement, that we that are married and anticipating our marriage, will we read the scriptures to find the sure word and the true manual as to conduct ourselves as husband and wife. And Lord God, I thank you. It's so much in our life. Thank you for the very season. And this is this life that we're enjoying right now. Even with the struggles involved, Lord God, please help us to remember that this season, this time, these struggles will endure for a short while. Then, Lord God, a new season will come into play. A new springtime, a new winter will come into our lives. And I know this, dear God, because you are a God of forward movement. And I find the enjoyment in this present season, this time, Lord God. And I know not what the future may hold, but I know that you are in control. And as we come tonight, dear God, open our hearts and our spirits as we open up your holy word as our God. Help us, dear Lord, as we make this endeavor fruitful one. In the precious name of Jesus, I pray. Amen. Amen.
Amen, my brother. I'm still looking for Apostle Whitlow, and when he shows up, Dr. Robinson, please let me know. In the meantime, as my computer is giving me the most difficult time to pull up simple scriptures, I'm going to ask Brother Otis, either you or Sister Teresa, one of y'all, if you'll grab Genesis chapter 2. We're going to go right back to the scriptures that we talked about last week. We're not going to twist anything, turn anything, or create anything different. We're just sort of kind of going to go through what we've been through, and let's just have an open discussion about the whole thing. Come on, you.
Okay, where would you like me to start? Verse 22?
You can go 22.
Okay. All right, and I'm reading from the King James Version. Genesis chapter 2, verse 22. And the rib which the Lord had taken from man made he a woman, and brought her unto the man. And Adam said, this is now bone of my bones and flesh of my flesh. She shall be called woman, because she was taken out of man. Therefore shall a man leave his father and his mother, and shall cleave unto his wife, and they shall be one flesh. And they were both naked, the man and his wife, and were not ashamed. Amen.
Amen. Thank you for the reading of the word. For the last several months in Making Marriage Meaningful, Apostle Whitlow had tackled several issues in marriage. And I'm not going to add anything new to what's already been said. I'm just going to kind of go back over sort of kind of what we've been through and what we've talked about. Now, if I can get you to read me that first line again, I don't have no idea what is wrong with my computer. This thing is heavily afflicted, and I have no oil to throw at it. Oh, my goodness. I have never had this much trouble with this bad boy cleaned out. That's really what it is. You know?
All right.
Either
shall we go back to 22?
Yes. As a matter of fact, back up two verses where he talks about he found no one, but he found no one, you know, like himself. I should have had to go back there. I mean, as soon as I can get on, I can. All right, Lord. We're going to have to do something different here. Okay. All right, go ahead. Just back
up to 20.
Just a little bit. Yes, please.
All right, verse 20, it says, and Adam gave names to all cattle and all the fowl of the air and to every beast of the field. But for Adam, there was not found a helpmate for him. Verse 21, and the Lord God caused a deep sleep to fall upon Adam, and he slept, and he took one of his ribs and closed up the flesh instead thereof. Then verse 22.
All right, let's hold that one right there for a minute. Let's deal with this. Now, in tonight's topic, let's just say in proper identification. That's all I'm going to call it. It's no real fancy title, something relatively simple, something that kind of works with us, kid. Because as you're reading there, Lady Teresa, you know, we find that Adam is on a search right there. God sends every animal into Adam's presence so that Adam could give a name to every animal on the planet. Can you imagine what it's like naming? I mean, you know, this one's called an orangutan. This one's called a chimpanzee. We're going to call the fat boy over there the rhinoceros. And this one right there, the hippo. And can you imagine having that responsibility of having to name every animal? But in the process of naming these animals, Adam quickly discovers that there is nobody like him, nobody that he could identify identify with, nobody that looks like him, that walks like him, nobody that talks like him, nobody that shares his basic imagery when it comes to life in and of itself. And to ask the opening question, and I'm going to put it on the floor for whomsoever desires to attack it. When we are talking about the identification process, what is it in marriage that we are looking for first and foremost? I mean, here we have Adam looking for something that he could identify with, and he finds nothing. He finds no one. What are we looking for when we're looking in the identification process? Anybody want to tackle that?
Of course, yes. First of all, I'm not going to say first because there's a whole multiplicity of images that you want to see that I would like to see when I look at someone that is going to be my mate. And I think so we can just look at the sensories. The first thing is that that sight. As I look up and identify, I see, and what is called an identifier would be the gender. That is readily recognizable, the gender, and I'm not looking for something that's the same. At this point, I'm looking for something that is just the opposite of what I am. And then they'd be looking for a female. So that would be one thing that I would notice. It's a female that is very appealing to my eye. People have fallen in love. Matter of fact, I can just stick it to myself. I was very impressed with the lady that is now my wife when I just first looked at her from a distance across a room, and I had never spoken a word. So that about compatibility and evenly yoked and commonalities, none of that came to my mind. The visual was just so appealing that I became very interested in wanting to learn more about this person, to want to meet this person, to want to be close to this person, and really just to activate and stimulate my other senses. I wanted to hear her talk. I wanted to touch, to feel, and definitely wanted to taste and just to smell. And so that would be something that would stimulate, is the stimulation of the senses first.
All right.
That's what takes place.
All right. Let me get your perspective, Sister Teresa, and then Reverend Billy, I need you to come in and share what your perspective may be.
Well, to add what my husband had said, looking back at what Adam was doing, which is naming animals, I'm sure that the animals made a lot of strange sounds that he could not communicate with. So I think he's also looking for a mate that he could actually communicate with. So that's what I wanted to add.
Okay. And Reverend Billy?
Yeah, okay. And in all reality, I cannot top the part which my brother so eloquently described. Because I can actually say that happened with me very so much so when I was in the Army, and I was a paymaster for the Army people, the people in the Army at this major hospital in New York at the Army base. And all the nurses that I had to pay, we were being paid in cash at the time, and that was just of all the nurses at the hospital, one of them came through the line and made my heart do a little drum line. And each time, I got kind of interested in that one. And each time, the next time was time for payday, I would put her envelope underneath the pile. So she would be the last one to pass my table all the time. She's a land. I could be looking at her. But as it turned out, it's very much like my brother had just described. All I want to do is see her. And at that time, very honestly, this is just a little history. She was a military officer, and I was an enlisted man. And that was it was against the law to call what we call fraternalization. The enlisted person could not deal with have a relationship with the officers. But somehow, I found a way to clandestinely get her attention, know that I was attentive to her, and somehow, apparently, she did not refute my advances, did not dispute my advances, or let put me in check to let me know I have no business talking to her. In all seriousness, it was just one of those things, and everything that I thought I liked, of all the other girls I was dating, she erased all their other qualities from my mind. And I stood it on her, and one day I surprised the military post when I made the announcement that we were going to get married. Everybody was totally surprised because we had clandestinely and secretly met each other off base in New York City. That's 8 million people, so we could hide very easily.
I love that story. Dr. Kimmy Robinson, is there anything you want to throw in there? Because right now I find three key words that all three of you so far have made mention of without even using these three words. Dr. Kimmy Robinson?
What do I look for or what do I ask is the question, right?
When you're trying to identify a mate, when you're trying to identify somebody that would be a potential mate, what is it that you're looking for?
Commonality, someone you can hold a intimate conversation with, because at the end of the day, the physical piece is good, but that will wear off. So I want someone who can definitely mentally stimulate my mind as well as he, but of course, men are different. So I would look for like things that we can do together, how we can have fun together, things like that. But for the most part, I enjoy just being with someone who's gonna, you know, just make me laugh. You know, I'm a laughter person.
Okay.
I like to laugh.
All right.
Yeah.
Beautiful. Beautiful. Amen. And I'll share a story with you in a minute, but let me throw this at you. I heard all three of you use three, all four of you actually, use three key words, and I'm going to develop an acronym out of it. The first is the letter C, the second is the letter A, and the third is the letter R. Now, when you put the three together, it spells car. And we all know what a car does. It gets you from point A to point B. Depending upon the size of the car will depend on what you can do with the car. For instance, if you have a compact car, you have limited space, which means that you can still get from point A to point B, but you can't take a whole lot with you. But if you have an SUV, you can take a lot more, have a lot more space, and you can do a whole lot more. You can do more than you can with a compact car. So the three words that make up the acronym CAR, the first one is communication. And I noticed in your opening statements, Brother Otis, and ladies, I'm going to hold you up for just a minute, and your statement, Reverend Billy, you talked about communication. You had a strong desire to communicate with the women of your life, your wife at this time, and something inside of you just felt like, I've got to get to her. Somehow, I've got to get this woman to notice me. Somehow, I've got to get this woman's attention. So you figured out, I've got to figure out how to communicate with her. And for those of you who are listening by way of radio, there are some men out there who have great difficulty communicating when it comes to letting their desires know. Now, there's a word in the streets now, and I'm going to say in the streets. Our young people use this word now, or use this phrase now, to sort of kind of let their friends and acquaintances. Oh, I don't put the second word out already. Okay, that's all right. But let their friends and associates know that they are interested in a particular young lady. They would use the phrase, "I'm going to take my shot." Now, y'all know the old New York, New York song, start spreading the news, that type of thing, you know, talking about you want to be part of this individual's life. When we talk about communication, what do we implement? How do we put ourselves in a position to communicate? Because, I mean, we've talked about right relationships, wrong relationships, relationships that were toxic, and we talked about all of that. But I want to talk about some of the positives. When you talk about making marriage meaningful, is communication one of the primary issues in any marriage? The floor is open for whoever wants to answer.
Okay, I'll start again. Communication is very important because you want to now to find out more about the person. I just use my example since we're just giving opinions. For me, I wanted to learn more about the object, you know, of my affection. And I wanted to find a way to say something to her, but I wanted that also to be something that would be interesting to her, that would also, mm-hmm. you know, kind of inspire her to continue a conversation that I had started. And then with that, I wouldn't come in and act like it was an inquisition, you know, to find out just shotgunning, machine gunning questions at the person. Just have a conversation. And from just having a conversation, it was at a house party. So just talk about the party, what's going on, the music, the food, the people there. Mm-hmm. Doing that, just having a conversation with the person without asking questions can reveal quite a bit about an individual. Just to see, you know, what they say, the body language, and how they look at you when you talk. All of those things would be part of the communication, whether it be verbal or nonverbal. And all of that, I guess, will go on an evaluation sheet in my head, and I will begin to form opinions about the person, you know, based on what is being said, what has been indicated, what has been demonstrated. So that is what, that would be the communication for me.
All right. Anybody else want to jump in on that?
Yeah, I can also say it's not so much that it was not so much the verbal communication. I think that was also inserted and still in the conversation. But it's not so much the verbal communication. It is the way that we react with one another in each other's presence. That was there were times, you know, whether I can be serious acting that everything is totally straightforward. Or can I be myself and be comical in such a sense, being regular? Mm-hmm. Because I know that we men in the area of courting, sometimes we put our real and honest goodness best foot forward.
Uh-huh.
What we think is best foot forward, but hiding the other foot. But if you just be outright real yourself.
Uh-huh.
She being herself, and if my actions, my behavior is not irritable, not embarrassing, it does not match what she like, or vice versa, that is absolutely indicator that everything is okay. But with a little continuality, when you start seeing each other more regular, that seems to gel. And that is what I meant by she eradicated, she erased all the other women from my mind, because I've been straight up and very honestly, I mean, for real, the other women up until that point, and I'm not a real ashamed to say it, I'm glad to say it, were just playthings with me. And I'm serious. But she can't put that to a screeching halt to my riding that ferry, riding that subway in every suburb and every urban area to that one in Brooklyn. I did not catch the train to New Rochelle. I did not catch the ferry over to Staten Island. I went straight to Brooklyn on that
all
ferry.
Right.
And because all the others meant nothing, because I found the one that I liked talking with, being with, sharing time with, without trying to manipulate myself with what if I don't do this. I was natural, and I happen to believe that she was natural, and I appreciated my being natural. That type of communication.
All right, ladies, you want to jump in on this?
The only thing I wanted to add is being, you know, having communication, it helps you to open up the areas to be forthcoming about any concerns that you have, and mm-hmm. to express your thoughts and feelings and wishes in a respectful way. And, you know, a lot of times situations that come up, and it's just interesting to find out how your person responds, you know, whether they're the type of person that can sit and work out, say, a problem or something that comes up, or are they the type of person that will just get up and, you know, walk away, and then you're never able to talk about the topic again. So mm-hmm. being able to communicate is very important. And as I said, it gives you an opportunity to find out more about each other and, you know, express your concerns and feelings about each other.
Wow. Dr. Kimmy Robinson, I don't want to leave you out of this, because I know you got something you need to say.
Kimmy, and Apostle Smith is on, and I agree. I really believe that you guys do have different ways of communicating, and you guys have different ways of loving. But at the same time, at the end of the day, the mate will understand that, as well as, you know, a man will understand that his woman needs this particular thing. And so I agree. Everything is done differently, accordingly to, you know, the person, because we have needs and the male has needs. And so that's another thing.
Agree.
When you meet someone, you want to address that as well. And once you address that, it's all good and dandy. Yeah.
Amen. Amen. Well, let's welcome in Apostle Vincent L. Smith. How are you this evening, sir? Apostle Smith? His phone may be
out of
mute.
Hello.
There you are. How are you tonight, sir?
Good. They had me on mute.
Mm-mm.
No, you just got on.
No.
I've been watching you.
Not you. They had the phone.
Oh, okay. I'm about to beat you up.
Tonight, Apostle Smith, we are going back to the scriptures that were read from Genesis, actually chapter 2. We started verse 20 on down to the end, and we're talking about proper identification. And one of the things we found out that in identifying a mate or someone that is a potential mate, one of the first things we found out, one of the important keys to identifying an important mate is communication. You have anything you want to say on that before we move on? We develop an acronym, and it's spelled C C-A-R, which, of course, you know, obviously it spells the word car, and you know exactly what a car does or can do. You know that whether it's a compact or an SUV, it can take you from point A to point B. We know that a compact can only hold so much and can only do so much, but we know an SUV has a whole lot more potential. I didn't talk about buses, planes, or trains. I left all those out because I'm trying to keep it in its simplest form. So when you talk about communication, and before I say that to you, let me address something you said, Brother Otis. You talked about evaluating your opinions, and Reverend Billy, you talked about coming to a point and place through communication of having a relaxed conversation or being in a relaxed state. I like what you brothers just said. Ladies, you're always off the charts, but we're going to hold the accolades for you in just a minute. Let me hear from you, Apostle Smith. Communication in trying to properly identify a mate. How important is that to you, sir?
Communication really is the glue to the whole thing.
Okay.
And I ain't talking about no Elmer's glue. That's your gorilla glue there. If you don't have communication, how do you know each other? How do you know each other's likes and dislikes? How do you know what my favorite color is, what her favorite color is? How do you know what we like to eat and don't like to eat? How do we know you thinking we get ready to have five children? She's saying, if I make it through one, we're doing good.
All right now.
So if you
I like that.
So if you don't communicate, the relationship is just about over already because communication gives you direction.
Amen.
It gives you hope for the future, even when you talk about now. You talk about what are we going to do now? You know what's the next year plan? What's the 5-year plan? What's the 10-year plan? And if you plan to be together the rest of your life, honey, what do you see? Let's just imagine. What do we see in 20 years from now?
All right now. That's a beautiful
where
thing.
Do we want to be? Where do we want to be 20 years from now? You know, 40 years from now. Let's just imagine. How do we want this to turn out? And so that's how important communication is in my book.
Amen. Amen. That's beautiful. I like that. All right. Now, I said I was going to share a story with you, and we're going to stay on the subject of communication for just a few minutes. We all agree that in order to have any level of success in identifying the mate that we can call our soulmate or that person we're going to marry, we have to communicate. I shared something with you with Sister Richard and I. We've only been married going on 8 years, but we've known each other since we were children. Grew up together in the same neighborhood, went to the same schools, all the way up to college where she went, left for Fairfield, where I stayed at the University of New Haven, and then she went on to Chicago and to Chicago School of Business and got her master's in finance and all that, and then she made her way down into the D.C. area. We did not see each other again for some 35 years. No, we weren't in love back then. We just knew each other. We lived in a community where we knew the mother, we knew the father. And I got to say this. We grew up in a community called West Hills or McConaughey Terrace. It was on the New Haven Woodbridge line. And we pretty much knew all the parents that were in the neighborhood. Now, there were some single parents, but there were more married couples than there were singles in our neighborhood. And so, you know, the parents would come together and play baseball. This is how we got to know each other and to know who is who. And my wife actually is my younger brother's contemporary. They went to school together. I was in between. Her older sister and my older sister went to school together. So you can see where I'm going when I say this. But it was 35 years later at a class reunion that we were able to meet. And in terms of communication, I can give a real quick story. I'm not going to tell the whole story in detail because it would take too long. And basically that night, I was asked to do the invocation, and I wasn't going to go. Come to find out, at the same time, she wasn't thinking about going, but we both managed to press ourselves to go and get there. I said, I'll do the communication, say hi to a few people, and then I'm leaving. Got there, started talking to some people in the parking lot, put the window down on the passenger side, locked the door after I parked, thought I had locked my keys in the car, never went to the driver's side to see. I'm going to show you how God sets stuff up. Never went to the passenger side to see if I had left the door down or whatever the case may be. So I go inside, get one of my best friends. He's like a brother to me, and we're trying to take this hangar. Now, I'm going to tell y'all now, I don't think I could break into an old dream if I had to. That's how bad a thief I would be. But we went, got this coat hanger. We're going to try to pop the lock on this door, and we're going to try to get the keys because the keys are sitting right in the ignition. After about 20 minutes of trying, we finally went to the other side, and I went to put the hanger in the door on that side and just about broke my hand trying to, you know, slide this hanger down because the window was still down. Nonetheless, got in the car, got the keys, rolled the windows up, and went inside. Now, the place was jam-packed. We had like 280-some-odd people that graduated in our class. I would say maybe 1% of that class probably passed away, which means there had to be at least maybe 150, 160, maybe that many, 170 people at this reunion. But anyway, all the tables were gone. There was no place to sit. And I'm stopping saying hi and making my way around trying to find some place to sit. I come to this one table where a friend of mine, her name was Linda. I'll leave it right there. There were two chairs open in this particular table. And I asked her, Linda, is anybody sitting here? She says, you are now. And, you know, we got to talking and everybody reminiscing, talking about high school and the things we did. Who do you think showed up some 10 minutes later? First Lady Sharon Richard. That was the start of our communication. But here's the beauty of it. Our communication was a little different than most people. We didn't have to have an icebreaker. We didn't have to try to talk about, as you said, Reverend Billy, the party. Didn't have to talk about, you know, what was going on. We started talking about yesterday and the things we used to do in our community and the way our parents were and the way we were raised. We got into this long, drawn-out conversation. Before you knew it, the night was just about far spent. And we said goodnight, and we didn't talk or see each other for about a month and a half. And then finally I called her, you know, to see how she was doing. And when I called her, it was like we had never lost any time. I got a point to this, so let me get down to this. She invited me to meet her in New Jersey at a friend of hers' wedding. And we went to this wedding. It wasn't a wedding. It was a they had gotten married. They had some kind of celebration for this married couple. Had the time of our life. My point is simply this. In communication, as you said, Brother Otis, you evaluate the individual and you evaluate your opinion of that individual. As you said, Reverend Billy, you tend to want to be in a state of relaxation when you're talking to this individual. When we talk about communication, we're actually pursuing more than just happiness. We are looking for something that's going to be viable, that's going to put us in a position where we can find ourselves comfortable with this individual. Good times, bad times, happy times, sad times. You see, you can always find out the strength of your love one for another in your communication with each other, not through the good times, but through the adverse times. In those times when you're going through, in those times when it's difficult and, you know, maybe something happened. I'm not going to paint any scenarios, but if you can find yourself able to communicate even through adversity, you want to persevere through those hard times, through those difficult times. We all know nobody likes to go through hard times. We try to avoid them as much as we can, but learning how to stay calm or keep the seas in a calm state would seem to be a great measure of success when you're talking about communication and marriage and identifying. And you tell all that when you first meet an individual, but you find out when you find your first measure of adversity there becomes a realness in that, that you find that, yeah, we went through this, but we were able to sustain. We were able to move forward. We were able to persevere. Our characters came to the surface. Perseverance showed itself to be what it is. The road got a little rocky, and we haven't even said I do. Yet in the midst of all this, we found ourselves trying to press through, not saying, well, I ain't got to go through all this. She ain't all that. I just met her, and I ain't got – no, you didn't say that. You were trying to figure out how to get through together. One other thing I'm going to say, and then I'm going to move on. You inspired to change each other for the better. And the most important thing, when people who are observing you and your spouse in your state of communication, whether good or bad, you're literally setting an example for others. Does anybody agree or disagree with anything I said? Come on, it's open. Anybody?
I definitely agree with what you said. You're always on audition, whether you know it or not, and people watch you. So, yes, I do agree with what you said.
All right. Now, Reverend Billy, you said something earlier. People were shocked that you were getting married. I bet they watched you like a hawk, didn't they?
I was kind of wild. I was out there, and as that being said, I had a lot of girlfriends. I can't put that one. And those of you have been in the military, this is, it might sound braggadocious, but we used to have what we call our duty roster. And that is how. This is not to be braggadocious, really shameful. But I had what we call a duty roster. Once I went out, I knew who was going to be next. And that was, that's kind of shameful in reality, because otherwise I would not date any one person. But well, let me go back to this other thing about the communication again, about it being nonverbal. It's the actions that you have when you're with this person, and what type of behavior she has in public. Is she real loud and bodacious? Does she come when you go to the restaurant to eat? Does she complain about? Does she complain about everything on the plate? The yelling at the waiter. This is too hot. This too cold. In a disrespectful manner. And all these kind of things.
Some of those
things are absolutely a turnoff. The way they act and in public. That to me, that's communication. What type of language did she use? What type of act? All of that.
Yes.
All of that is what I call, in a sense, nonverbal communication. When you observe, when she wipe her mouth, did she use a sleeve or did she use a napkin?
Oh, Lord, help, Lord. I've been on a couple of dates where, you know, I mean, she started with a napkin. Next thing you know, just talking, and like you said, that communication. Woo, boy. I wasn't all the way saved back then, but I was saved enough to know that that was not the one. So let's move on. I hear you. Now, I've noticed something also. Communication has a way of creating some other areas. And I like to call these areas of closeness. Now, in talking about areas of closeness as we continue to deal with communication, I want to put four areas out there, and I want each of you, and if you have to jump on set, to think about it and share some things with me. The kind of closeness that communication can develop in time when you start doing things together, can it develop like emotional closeness? Can it develop a physical closeness? Can it develop a spiritual closeness? Can it even develop sensual or sexual closeness? Take any one of those and let's talk about it for a few minutes. Dr. Kimmy Robinson, let's start with you.
Absolutely. So we've taken away everything but communication, right?
Well, it's all part of communication.
Okay. And so basically, I think when you focus more so on the person and not look at the physical and, you know, as the main reason why you guys are getting together. The relationship is so much sound. It has a better foundation because it's not built on that lust. Because lust, mm-hmm. it says in the Bible that it fades away. And so that's why communication is definitely a very important tool, because communication keeps it lively. Communication keeps the love going. If you don't, like, say good morning to each other in the morning and or speak, how can you have a relationship with someone that is long-term? So I really think when you focus more so on that person, it's a natural uh-huh. chemistry then. But where you just look okay. at that person for the outer, for the first time, like meet, it's just a physical. There's nothing, there's no substance. You don't have substance if it's more physical. Now, when you have everything, it becomes physical because you want that person more and more each day, because you can never get tired of that person because you know more about that person than just the physical. You know their, you know what makes them tick, you know their favorite color, you know what they like to eat, and then each day you're learning more and more about each other. And so you want each other wow. in that way. So that's a good thing. Yeah, you want that. If I want somebody to want me, but it's how I want someone to want me. You know what I'm saying? So
all right. Well, talk to me. Talk to me. And then, Sister Teresa, don't go too far because I want you to jump on and piggyback on where she's going. This becomes very helpful because there's somebody listening right here and now and hearing a woman's perspective. Now, so you agree. Let me say this to you, Dr. Robinson. You do agree that emotional, spiritual, physical, and even sensual closeness can come out of communication. Is that what you're telling me?
Absolutely. You won't feel more.
All
when
right.
They listen
and
to
then
you,
want
I'm telling
more.
You, when you listen to each other, you want them more physically, spiritually, sexually. You want them more and more because you can never get enough of them because you're so into them, it's not based on things. It's based on because you like that person. It's just like when we worship
all
God.
Right.
You love worshiping God for not what he does, but who he is. So we love that person
Amen.
For who they are. Yeah. It's
Amen. Beautiful. All right, Sister Teresa.
Okay, I would like to just talk about the emotional part of it as far as an area of closeness. And
okay.
Well, you know, emotion has to do with feelings. So by
uh-huh.
communicating with your spouse, you learn what respect is. You know, men are really high on respect. And
uh-huh.
you learned his opinions about things. You learn what
mm.
values he has, what
wow.
The values of the relationship is, what it means to him. You learn what the boundaries are. You learn what makes him happy. You learn what things might irritate, and you don't want to continue mm-hmm. to do those. But
mm-hmm.
on an emotional basis, I think that really gets into the core feelings of your spouse. Just learning more about them on an emotional level, and through emotions that take into the other parts, which lead into the spiritual and the physically
Amen.
Mental.
All right. I like
yes.
that. I appreciate you there. Apostle Smith?
Yes, sir.
Areas of closeness, emotional, spiritual, physical, and even sensual. Is communication capable of producing these areas?
I have a sarcastic question, and I'm gonna give you my answer. I was just listening to Sister Teresa, and I was just wondering, can you really understand a woman's emotional side? Leave that alone. I think in communication, I really think if the communication is right, and
yes.
this ain't an announcement about, this is not an announcement about a girlfriend, fiance, none of that. But I'm having conversation with somebody now almost daily, and the conversations are becoming more and more fulfilling, and mostly we're talking about the word. But talking about the word, you know, I can also sense the word conversation is even bringing us closer.
Amen. Amen.
So when you ask that question tonight, your communication should work in each one of those areas. And matter of fact, I'm trying to think what's the term I'm looking for. It's called holistic.
Yes.
To communicate right, it brings you to a holistic relationship. When I hear Brother Gabriel, when I hear Brother Otis and Sister Teresa talk about their relationship, it lets me know they took time in communicating well where they were going. It wasn't just a fine woman. It wasn't just a fine woman and a handsome man, you know, tickling in their middle parts and couldn't wait to jump on each other. They just tried to make sure that they understood where we're going, what we're doing, how we're going to do it, all this. And no doubt, the more they talked about what they were doing and where they were going, the more they were falling in love.
Amen.
I hate using that term falling, but until I find a better term, I'll use it tonight. But, you know, they begin to draw closer just in conversation. So I really do believe communication. I believe communication is a valuable piece, not just important.
Yes.
It is a valuable piece to having a strong and powerful and loving relationship.
Amen. Either Brother Otis or Reverend Billy, whichever one wants to go first, and then the other will bring that in. I mean, this is all good stuff, and I like this because I believe there's somebody listening even in this hour that's, you know, trying to understand what it is they're going through. And let's just be real about this, folks. The divorce rate among Christians has gone through the roof. And it's only because teaching and training of this caliber has not been made available to them. And maybe they didn't see the value of their relationship. So tonight you guys are blessing people to know the value of their relationship. Come on, Brother Otis or Reverend Billy. Either
All right. Way. Right here. Okay, we're talking about how a certain type of communication would spawn or spark or stimulate or result in an emotional response, a romantic response, a sensual response. And personal and with talking to my friends who are similarly situated, that words, the verbal communication, and then you make the combination with verbal communication that is appealing and comparable and comfortable, along with tactile communication, and that means touching, that can spark a myriad of emotions, different emotions.
Okay.
In each person, even with when a man touches a woman, even casually, they could be reaching for something at the same time, and their hands touch. Just that moment, it does not go ignored by either one. They are both aware that they have made contact physically, even though they will withdraw and continue to do what they are doing, that has been noticed by both of them. And if that happens mm-hmm. two or three times in a short period, then there's a whole different conversation that's going to follow with those individuals. Now, here's something that happened with that is very unusual based on the topic that we're discussing right now. There was a married couple. Then there was another married couple. And the man from this couple was attracted to the woman of the other couple. They become just sexually attracted to each other by the conversations they would have, you know, when the group was together. And it was very obvious to both of them that they were sexually attracted. So they had a conversation. And mm-hmm. we're going to have a rendezvous. But all since right. We are sexually attracted to each other, we really don't want to break up our happy homes. And when we meet for our rendezvous, we will not say a single word to each other, because words spawn emotions. Words and touching and what they were going to be doing will spawn an emotion that would be hard to calm down after the rendezvous was over. So that was their contract, that they would not say anything, because that combination would change that relationship into a whole different level of something that would be more harmful than it already was. Now, if there are two single people who are attracted, and now they are touching and speaking to one another in a way that the other person would like to listen to, then that is great. And that's what we want to, that is something that we would like to aspire to. And that, I like the part about being able to talk to a person comfortably. There mm-hmm. are some people that we have all met that was very difficult to have a conversation with, because there was just too many things about that individual that was not congruent with the way you felt about the same issue. And you had to be too careful about what you would say. And that just leads me to my personal example, is that my wife and I love to talk to one another. Matter of fact, so much so that it is, it keeps us from doing a lot of things around the house that we should be doing. I have an office downstairs, we both do, and then we have another one upstairs. And there's some material I have in the office downstairs that I need to work on. But if my wife is upstairs and we're talking, we'll just keep talking and talking and talking. And now the time that I was going to use downstairs in the office is gone. And so I just don't care. I said, I'll do it another day. But we really enjoy talking to one another. And we do that in driving the car. I know one time we were driving to Nashville, Tennessee, and we had bought some tapes to play along the way. And we drove from Maryland to Nashville, Tennessee, and never turned the music on, never turned the radio on. We just talked all the way. And then we realized that, so we said, we'll play them going back. So, yes, that comfortable communication is a plus in a relationship. And that's all I'm going to say about that.
Yeah. I mean, and you've all shared some wonderful things. There's another area that we did not add, and I did this on purpose, because here's where we're going to go to the acronym A, acquaintance, doing things together. We talked about the emotional closeness. We talked about the physical closeness. Brother Billy, did I get your response? I don't want to leave you out. I don't know if I did or didn't.
I was talking, but I realized while you were talking over me, I had put it on mute while I was coughing.
Oh, that's all right. Well, come on, bro. Let me hear you. Because I was saying to myself, we didn't hear from Reverend Billy.
I thought you were being rude. Talking over me when you hear me talking.
You know what? I will jump through this phone. Not tonight. Maybe another time. But go ahead.
about the convention. What do we know about when? But I have some good news for you. I was with the Nashville, and I stopped by the bookstore. And I was amazed. I saw this pretty book on the shelf, small book, and the title was "What Every Man Should Know About a Woman."
I flipped it open,
and I was amazed. And believe it or not, I bought 5 of those books because I was going to share it with my pastor and a few men in the church. 5 of them. And I had listed the people who I was going to give the book to. It's an awesome book. And it's a great enlightenment about what men know about women. But every man should know and knows about a woman. The secret of this thing is when you open up the book and start reading it, every page is blank.
Come on now.
I bought 5 of those books. At that time, they were $3.99 a piece of small book. And I gave one to my pastor and about 3 or 4 of the deacons. And I still got one. The pages are blank. In other words, we don't know nothing about women.
Whatever you learn, you write down on the page, huh?
It's still, and that erases, that disappears right away.
Wow. That's an interesting book.
I shared it with my brother. We I think he got one. But we don't know. And that's what Apostle Smith was alluding to. What do you ever get to know them?
That is interesting. I would like to get a hold of that because that would be a good teaching tool, especially for a men's ministry. I'm going to hold on to that for a minute. Yeah, if you can get a hold of that or at least give me the address, I'll call that store and see if I can get them to ship a couple. But anyway, listen, let me throw this in because I know our time is getting away from us. We got about 15 minutes left. That area of closeness that I got ready to talk about that we did not mention, we mentioned emotional closeness in communication. We mentioned physical closeness. We mentioned spiritual closeness. We mentioned sensual or sexual closeness. The one we didn't mention is in communicating and becoming acquainted one with another, you find yourselves doing things together. Now, Brother and Sister Gabriel, I'm going to relinquish to you in just a second or so to kind of educate our listeners on what it's like doing things together. You've been married the longest of anybody that's on this panel, far longer than I have, and I pray God will give us the length of marriage that you two have enjoyed. But I found that it's important that couples do spend time together. My wife and I make special time. We have what's called date nights. You see, we both have busy lives, and we've got many commitments. Our children are grown, and there are people who are listening to us that have children that they have to care for, and they find themselves with very little time for each other. And I'm saying that spending time regularly together, whether you're going shopping or you're going out to dinner or you're going to the movies, you're just taking a walk. Maybe you're going swimming or you're getting involved in some type of sporting event or some type of exercise, and you have a special hobby that you may like to do, or, you know, when holidays roll around. You know, all these things can help couples come closer and have more time to communicate with one another, to talk to one another, and get to know one another better. So let me relinquish to you two to kind of share some of your experiences in doing things together, because this becomes vital. A lot of folk don't think, you know, I got my time and she got hers. People make time to hang out with the fellas, and women make time to hang out with their girls. But how about if you work on building your relationship together by hanging out with each other? What do you guys have to say on that?
Okay, I'll go, then my wife can put in what she would like to say. Is we had the same situation with the children. Mm-hmm. Our children have graduated, they're grown, and they're gone.
Mm-hmm.
So
mm-hmm.
it's the two of us now, which is really great, that the life gets better with time. And what we do is we're both retired, and the businesses that we engage in retirement, we do them together. And we really do everything together. We are mm-hmm. together 24 hours a day, and I tell you, we noticed one time that we are seldom, if ever, more than 30 seconds apart, and that takes place in one place, and that is Walmart. When we go into Walmart, the store is so big that she goes one direction, I go another direction. But, you know, we use a cell phone when we want to see each other, show each other an item that we purchase, and that is every day, all day. And like I said earlier, it becomes habit for me that if we're not in the room together, for example, if I go downstairs to do something in the office downstairs, if I'm gone more than 5 or 6 minutes, I'm going to look up, and she's going to be standing in the door. She says, I just come to see what you were doing. So, you know, we get a hug and a little kiss, and then she go back, come back upstairs. The shopping is to us, shopping is like a date. You know, we mm-hmm. walking down each aisle and talking about, you know, what we're going to buy, and just, you know, comparing prices, comparing brands. We go shopping together, and whether it's for the commissary or the clothing store, and of course I just named my favorite store, Walmart, and the dollar store. So it's everything that we do. We do together, and
amen.
That we have neither one of us have ever expressed a desire for a me time. The mm-hmm. me time I want to spend is with me wife, and so that it was just something that we've always done, and it would be unusual not to be with my wife, and people tease us about that. When they call, and whoever answered the phone, they would say, hello, they say, hey, Gabe. Then they say, hey, Teresa, because they know that she's right here. And so that is for us, you know, that just makes a very wonderful, wonderful life. Like we got in the car, I had an appointment with the VA hospital, and it was early in the morning, like 8 o'clock. And I said, okay, baby, I got an appointment at 8 o'clock. She said, yeah, I saw it on the calendar. And as I get dressed, put on all my clothes, ready to go, and she's standing by the door, fully dressed. And we go, even though she can't come in because of the COVID-19, she'll sit in the car for an hour and a half till I come back, and then we go wherever we want to go after that. So it's just it's habitual, and it's a wonderful habit that we have, and a wonderful system, and that works very well for us. Anything else would be unusual, and so that's how I feel about it. I like every moment of it.
All right, Sister Teresa, you want to jump in there?
He said pretty much what I was going to say, but you know, it just depends on how you start your relationship off. And we started mm-hmm. our relationship off with being together. I think he's told you the story about when he was the disc jockey and I had just met him. And, you know, he was going to do a wedding. and we had been together earlier that day, and he was going to take me home. So he saw that I was a little bit disappointed because I really wasn't ready to, you know, depart. This was in the very early part of our relationship. So I asked him if I could go with him, and he said, yeah, you know, and he thought that was unusual, but, you know, I just felt that I wanted to do that. And from that point on, we would do everything together, you know, like you said, all the documents. He was in the hospital for 21 days, and, you know, I stayed there day and night with him, you know. And it's just a pleasure to do that. I don't feel like it's a burden or, you know, it doesn't seem unusual to us because, you know, in the long run, when he goes on doctor appointments, you know, I'm the one that's going to have to, you know, have a part in taking care of him, so why not get the information firsthand? But we go shopping together, and, you know, he's very patient with me, and when we do go into places like Walmart, we have different interests, so we decide that we'll meet back together at a certain time, or when I'm ready to go, I just give him a call on the phone. And, you know, I never think about having girls' night or, you know, girls' weekends together because it's just something I just don't do and I don't miss. And, you know, it's just been a great life for me. You know, and I guess that's all I had to say about that. But it's unusual, and I don't think it's something that's impossible. Like I said, it just depends on how you start your relationship off. And I really think if we were on a deserted island together with nobody but the two of us, we could survive.
Amen.
Yeah.
Amen.
Let me share this with you real before you go.
Go ahead.
There are times at our little, when we're together on Sundays, that they can tell you, there have been times that, oh, well, I just wish I could take a picture of this, sit at our Parker Smith and the group, cause the way they be acting. And that was sometimes I said, I could just show this picture how y'all act when we're together.
Mm-hmm.
But what she said is very true. I have been with them in so many occasions what they are doing. And my just off, but nonetheless, and you heard me say it before, and please excuse my grammar. I've said it again. I ain't never done seen no couple like that before in my life.
I like that.
Excuse my grammar. But
I ain't never done seen. If that ain't a phonics, I don't know what it is. Anyway, I hear you because I go ahead.
I always love that great story, but I was just thinking. Here's another great element that I haven't heard anybody add into our conversation this week or any other week. But sometimes that your relationship becomes closer and better by listening at the elders of your family. Now, I don't mean they're giving you advice, but while they're talking, start to see yourself.
Exactly. I like that.
And then you begin to understand why you do how you do and why you do and all that.
Wow.
And then when you have your conversation with your special one, you say, you know, I'm glad we went by to talk to Mom and Dad tonight. I'm glad we got a chance to talk to Grandma and Pop tonight. Man, I begin to understand tonight why if you went to see our people, now I understand a little better why you do like you do. Or if you went to see your people, she might say, now I understand a little better how you do what you do, why you say what you say. So I would listen at your father talk. Man, if you don't talk like your father. You know,
Amen.
If you don't have some of the character of your mother.
Well, my brother, I'm going to tell you, you brought me into something. I was going to try to hold it for another time, but we might as well go ahead in these last 5 to 7 minutes that we have. You just walked us right into that area of physical closeness, and we all know how important it is. As they shared with us doing things together, we find physical closeness and its importance for a couple to be close physically. And see, I want to throw some things out there, and we'll have this general conversation for whatever the time it takes. This, you know, and it really, when you talk about physical closeness, you're talking about eye contact. You're talking about simple things like holding hands, like that hug, that little pat on the booty, or just sitting close together, up right up under each other, massaging one another. You know, not waiting to find out if she has a kink or a cramp or nothing. You just do it just because. You know, and it creates more opportunities for physical closeness. They'll enhance your sense of closeness, and it will enhance your intimacy. It's important for us to be conscious of those, you know, that some individuals are more comfortable being physically demonstrative. You know, they like to express their love. They like to put it out there in the open. As you said, Reverend Billy, you've seen the Gabriels do that. My wife and I do the same thing. And sometimes we tend to forget that there are even other people around, you know. But it helps others to understand how comfortable we are with each other, and how you know, we can just be ourselves, and we don't have to put on a show. We don't have to put on airs. We don't have to pretend. We are who we are in public. And because we are who we are in public, and I'm trying to find the right way to say this, so I'm going to try it this way, and I pray that it comes across when I say it. And I know, Brother and Sister Gabriel, you can help me out if I can't find the right word to say it, to find that exact. But there are times when my wife and I are together, forgetting that other people are around. It's as if we're dating each other as boyfriend and girlfriend and not husband and wife. I don't know what the word is, but I'm going to call it physical closeness. I'm going to put it in that area and in that context. And when you can experience that, you know, people will look at you and say, well, how do you do it? I'm so glad you asked. Opens the door and gives you opportunity to share some things. Anybody got anything else they want to say? We've got a few minutes left. I do appreciate you guys coming in. We've been talking tonight on Making Marriage Meaningful. Your host, Apostle Reverend Whitlow, is not with us tonight. I am sitting in. My name is Bishop-elect Ernest E. Richards, Jr., along with Apostle Vincent L. Smith, Reverend Billy Gabriel, and the most wonderful couple we've met on this side of heaven, Brother Otis and Sister Teresa Gabriel. And of course, we cannot leave out the incomparable Dr. Kimmy Robinson. Anybody want to have any final comments, anything they want to add before we bring this to a close?
Yes, I did have a question. You may have been saving it for next week, but what does the R stand for?
The R stands for relationship.
Relationship,
because
okay.
That's what you develop. From communication, you become acquainted, and through your acquaintance, you develop that relationship.
Okay,
and
thank
in
you.
The relationship, emotional closeness and sensual closeness are included in the relationship. Now, we can brush it real quick because I may not get a chance to do it next week. I don't know where Apostle Whitlow's going, but when you're going to talk about emotional closeness, and I see you done pulled it out of me, sis. When you're going to talk about emotional closeness, it helps us to understand each other and to know more about each other and become more deeply involved with one another, to have empathy toward each other. It involves us being open about our feelings, about our thoughts, about our beliefs. You said it earlier, Sister Teresa, about our values, about our hopes, our dreams, our aspirations, our worries, our fears, our ambitions. And while one is speaking about all these things, the other is attentively listening, and it enhances emotional closeness when both individuals know how to listen in order to know how to understand what their partner or spouse needs or has a need of. Rather than sit there and try to make a list of do's and don'ts and come to the place and point of disagreement and judgment and blame and criticism and things of that nature, you're looking to see how can you put a stronger bond in this relationship. And, of course, for the married couples only, I would say the sexual closeness, because if you're happy in the areas that we've talked about tonight, you know, the sexual relationship, you can bring yourself to a place where you can feel and be able to raise and discuss things. You know, what do you like? And see, I will say this. I'm going to be just a tad raw. I'm trying to behave myself tonight because I'll leave that to Apostle Whitlow to get as crazy as he needs to on his show. But when you sit down and talk about what you like sensually, you have a better idea of how to please each other. I mean, we can do the exploratory work. We could do the Jacques Cousteau of sex and go in there and just kind of try this and try that. But when you sit down and talk about it, I like when you touch me. I like when you kiss my earlobe. I like when you kiss my neck. I like when you rub my breast. I like when you rub your hands across my private parts. I like when you smack me on the butt. You're hearing all these things. And so to me, and this is Ernest 1&1, when my wife and I had that kind, we did have that conversation in the early stages of our marriage. I kind of knew what it was that she liked. And so knowing what it is that she liked, I already knew what not to do, you know? And I'm going to leave that right there because that's a wide open space in knowing what not. But since you brought that up, yes, we're talking about communication, acquaintance, and then relationship. And I could add one more, but I'm going to hold it. You about to say something, Apostle Smith?
Oh, no, my daughter will ask me something.
Okay. All right. Well, listen, I do appreciate all of you coming on. We're at the bottom of the we're at the half hour, the halfway mark of the bottom of this particular hour. And I do thank each and every one of you for coming on. I thank you for taking this time to share your thoughts, feelings, and, you know, information that God has blessed you to have. As I said before, I'm Bishop-elect Ernest E. Richard Jr. sitting in for Apostle Irvin A. Whitlow Jr. This is Making Marriage Meaningful, and I'm going to do my best to give you a phrase that Apostle Whitlow would always use. He says, your marriage is meaningless. Well, how does he say it? Come on, help me out here. Y'all help me out here. Come on, Pam, help me get this thing
your
right.
Your marriage will be meaningless unless your mate becomes meaningful.
All right,
There you go. Your marriage is meaningless unless your mate becomes meaningful. For Apostle Irvin A. Whitlow Jr. and the panel guests here, we thank you for joining us. Join us again on next Saturday at this same time on this same channel, and we will talk more as we talk about making marriage meaningful. Dr. Kimmy Robinson, and before I let go, let me say this. Three important dates are coming up in the month of October. October 9th is an important date in the St. Louis area, and then October 9th is an important date in the New Haven area. And then October 17th in the New Haven area becomes an important date. So let's start with October 9th in the St. Louis area. Dr. Kimmy Robinson, tell us a little bit of what's going to happen down in St. Louis on October 9th.
We're going to have a free hip-hop gospel concert for the young people in the community on October the 9th, and it's going to be really nice. This is a return from the virus. We had our last one was back in 2017, and it was a great success. And so for more information, please reach out to 314-546-8567. And we do have a great lineup. It's gonna be a really nice time. We're just trying to, you know, pump for the Lord, pump up for the Lord, and just have a good time in Him and, you know, serve the community. And that is what's going on in St. Louis.
All right. Well, let's take you to another area. Up in the greater New Haven area, what is taking place is the 15th annual Hollerback Music Excellence Awards, hosted by Dr. Jerry Green and yours truly. This year's ministry will include the powerful and anointed Leandria Johnson. Also coming is the legendary Vanessa Bell Armstrong and comedian Willie Brown out of Atlanta, Georgia. There are a variety of categories where individuals that are in that region will be honored and will be just given recognition. But one I want to talk about now that stands out in my mind, we have on an annual basis Pastor of the Year. And one of the pastors being honored as Pastor of the Year is right here with us tonight in the person of Apostle Vincent L. Smith. This is all taking place at the... Thank you. This is all taking place at the Best Western Hotel, 201 Washington Avenue in the city of North Haven, Connecticut. Tickets are $42, and we request that you hurry up and get your tickets because last report I had, they are down to what we call the faithful few when it comes to tickets. There aren't very many left. For more information, you can contact yours truly at area code 202-802-5209, or you can go to the website to www.hollerbackmusicawards.com, and you can purchase tickets online. Come long, come strong, come ready to just have a great time in the Holy Ghost. My final announcement, and get the music ready, Dr. Kimmy Robinson. There is a declared national holiday in the New Haven area as we celebrate the birthday of one Apostle Vincent L. Smith. This will be his 22nd birthday again. I just want to say that. It will be his 22nd birthday again. And he's just tell us a little bit of what's going on with the Apostle Smith.
Well, on the 17th of October, you can look for good music, good food, and most of all, good laughter. If you are Holy Ghost filled to laugh, I suggest you stay far away from my party on that day because it's going to be dinner and a roast. It's going to be dinner and a roast. And we're going to have a wonderful time getting together on that day. And we're looking forward to my goddaughter closing us out, Miss Dawn Corbin. And she's going to take us into some high-energy singing. She's going to do a little R&B, a little soul, amen, some gospel. And she's going to give us a set for about an hour, hour and a half. And we're just going to have a good time. And then if we have enough time left, I might let them do the electric slide and the shuffle and then tell them you don't have to leave here. You don't have to go home.
Go home. Get up out of here. Amen.
Yes.
Amen. Well, listen, there
and
are the announcements.
And it's free.
Yes.
It's free.
All right. Now,
Fifty-seven Olive Street at the corner of Chapel at the St. Paul, St. James Church. Come to the Chapel Street entrance, and we will be in the main area.
All right. I'm going to try this one last time. Anything else before I speak? Anybody else with any other announcements? All hearts and minds are clear. Thank you all for joining us, those of you who are listening by way of radio. If you did not catch the beginning of this broadcast and you came in the middle, give us a day or so. Go into the archives, pull up Making Marriage Meaningful, and you can hear the entirety of its show in its original form. Until next Saturday, for Apostle Irvin Whitlow, who should be with you then, I'm Bishop-elect Ernest D. Richards saying, may the peace of God continuously be with you. Walk with the King, for he surely desires to walk with you. Sister Kimmy Kim, hit the music.
If I broke some hearts, I didn't mean that too. I believe the men and know some things I have to come to terms with. I don't know who I am anymore. Everything I've tried, nothing fills the void.